Good to see the saints at Pleasant Plains again. Good to have this opportunity to worship with you. We certainly are, you know, I began to think on the way up here about how much the Lord has blessed us in fellowship and friendship among those of you here. And you know, Brother Michael commented about, you know, asking how long it took me to get here and how long I am from home. And you know, I just told him, I'm thankful that I live close enough to where I can come here. You know, there was a time in our ministry where we were serving where a Wednesday night appointment here would have meant Atlanta between here and there, which almost would have made it not just tough, but I might have just had to say, Brother Michael, I don't know if I'd come. I just, as much as I love you saints here and have always appreciated your faithfulness and steadfastness and the truth and would have loved to have seen you, it would have been, certainly would have been an undertaking. But we thank the Lord for being here tonight. And certainly our prayers have been with your pastor and his family. And Sister Dana's on our prayer list there in our part of the country. And certainly I think there's others here that can speak to the power in that and the Lord hearing the prayers of his saints. And we thank the Lord for his mercy and grace and healing us when we cry unto him. There's one verse of scripture that's on our minds tonight, and I pray that the Lord bless me in trying to speak to you from it, and it's in Matthew chapter 13, and it's the 33rd verse. Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, if you want to read along with me. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. We, of course, understand that here in the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, we began to read about the introduction of Jesus teaching in parables. Of course, you know, Jesus teaching this was certainly of his will, but it was certainly in response to the charges that were made against him by those that heard him preach prior to this. Of course, you remember that they charged him with casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub. That's an oxymoron, by the way. It can't be done. Why would the devil cast out the devil? You know, sometimes the devil's arguments are arguments that are cast by the unlearned. I'll say that sometimes I certainly won't call everybody that makes a bad argument wicked and unborn again, or we might have to point the finger back at us at time to time whenever we might make a point that maybe we should have thought about it a little bit more. But, you know, that can't happen. Why would the devil cast out the devil? It doesn't make sense. Why would the devil's perfectly content whenever he's ruling and reigning. There's no reason for him to be cast out. And when they charged him with this, he began to speak unto them in parables, that seeing you might not see, and that hearing you might not hear. So in other words, you're going to hear his voice, is what he's saying, is you're going to hear me speak. But because of the figurative language that I'm going to use, is you're not going to understand what it is I'm trying to teach. You know, I don't believe that everybody that heard him from the onset immediately understood what it was he was teaching. Even his disciples would ask him later on. But what it shows me is that in these parables, we see that those that are willing to spend a little bit more time with Jesus. And, you know, sometimes that's not, you know, sometimes my children, whenever they're doing their lessons at night, And we call them lessons around my house.
That's my daddy's term for homework.
I think that's the older term that folks used to use. I like that term, lessons. Did you get your lessons up, is what daddy used to ask us. And so when they're working on their lessons, immediately sometimes when they don't understand one thing, they come and they bring it to me and immediately want me to show it to them. And the first thing I do a lot of times is ask them, have you thought about that for a little bit before you've asked me? So that maybe, first of all, it may give me a little bit of time to think about what they've asked me so I can come up with what I'm supposed to answer. But secondly, it's better for them to think about it as opposed to just immediately wanting an answer. But I'm glad they come to me. But nevertheless, sometimes it takes time. And you know what? Jesus is teaching them here about some principles, about spiritual things. Sometimes they don't just strike us in our natural senses the way that they should. Sometimes we need to spend some time in order to be able to understand what it is that the Lord's showing us about. And here in this parable, this one verse that I've read to you, he speaks unto him. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. What he calls this parable is what I'm about to teach you about is he says, it's the kingdom of heaven. You know, I believe that you can take these parables that he teaches them, and there's times when you can apply it in different contexts. And I've even become persuaded on some of these that not necessarily does it have to fit into one of those contexts. Whenever I say into one of them, I believe that there's truths in the context of when we see parables talking about earthly things that also teach us about heavenly things, eternity. And that as long as the principles are established the correct way, someone can learn and teach us about our Lord and teach us effectively and not just pigeonhole and say it has to be one or the other. Now, if you misconstrue the principles in trying to teach one in one context and another in another, then we got a little bit of a disagreement there. But as long as the principles are established, I believe you can teach about different contexts about this kingdom. You know, sometimes whenever people see heaven in the scriptures, immediately their minds are immediately taken. And I'm glad that whenever it comes to us thinking about heaven, I'm glad you're focused on what's awaiting us in glory. I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a time when this cemetery that's right out here by where we're meeting tonight is a place of rejoicing. It's no longer a place of sorrow where so many loved ones have been laid to rest. It's going to be a place where those saints come are brought back to life and their bodies are brought up out of that ground and they unite again with their soul and their spirit, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. That's going to be a good day. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there's that place. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That heaven that He created is that place where we have awaiting us. It's an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and it fadeth not away, and it's reserved in heaven for us. And I'm glad our minds are drawn to that. But you know, that's not the only context of heaven that the Bible talks about. You know, that's heaven, and it's perfect. And it's where Jesus is. And our minds are drawn to think of that perfect place of celestial peace where all is well over there. But you know, heaven can speak about a heavenly place. But a place where the Lord is. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord's in glory. But the Lord is not confined there. Do we understand that? You know, even the scripture speaks about how whenever the Lord was here in this earth, even the Son of Man which is in heaven is what Jesus said. Even while He was here, it describes Him as being there. And that's something that I in our natural minds cannot wrap our minds around. But He's in glory. But yeah, there's a place that's a heavenly place here. That the scripture's speaking to us about. You know, he says a few chapters earlier in regards to this kingdom of heaven. It says that the... If it was a morning service, I may remember how to quote it. But if y'all are anything like me and you've been through a day, sometimes that day can wear on your mind. It says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violent take it by force. You know, if there's only one context of heaven and it's eternity, do you really think that there's violence in glory? And I know that word violence, it's the same word that's translated in Luke 16 and 16 as the law and the prophets were until John. But since John, the kingdom of heaven is kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Presseth into it.
You know, when you press into something, that means you go from one environment to the other. That means that you have to move from one place to the other. That means it takes some sort of effort to get from one to the other. You know, we went to the University of Georgia football game with, I took my daddy and four of my boys back in September to the University of Georgia football game. And somebody gave me the tickets. They were great tickets. They were up under, they were in the shade. You know, it's the first time that, you know, as soon as I knew the game was out of hand, I didn't want to leave because we were sitting there in the shade. It was all well. We stayed right there until the end. But, you know, even when we left that stadium that day and we got to the place where we left one environment, we left the confines of the stadium to go out into the parking lot to get back into our car. And even when we got into our car to be able to get back on the road, I'm going to tell you what it took in order to get my crowd through that gate, in order to get them to where from one environment to the other, from the stadium to outside the stadium. We had to press, if you will, and to lean upon that and to exert some effort in order to be able to get out from where we were and get to where we wanted to be. Well, you know, in order to get out of this world and get into the kingdom of heaven, I'm going to tell you it's going to take some pressing. It's going to take some effort on your behalf. It's going to take you doing something. You know, we've got to understand the difference. And I know the saints I'm speaking to at Pleasant Plains Primitive Baptist Church on a Wednesday night. I know that you understand that when the Bible talks to us about delivering us from death and the life, it never calls on us to press into that kingdom and to do something in order for that to come to pass. The Lord brings us from death and gives us life. But whenever it comes to spiritual matters in this world, for us to enjoy this heavenly place that God has given us, it takes something on our part. It means that it requires something of us, and we press into it. We press into it. It's the kingdom of heaven. You know, he says, in another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. You know, I believe this kingdom that he's telling them about is, it's about a place where there's heavenly fellowship with Jesus. You know, that's even hard sometimes. That it's hard a lot of times for us to even fathom that the Lord would do for us what he did. And leaving glory and coming into this, he reduced himself to a heartbeat in a woman's womb, in his mother's womb. And he came and was born into this sin-cursed world. And lived in the midst of sin, every bit God, every bit with his holiness, and endured what he endured for sinners like you and I. Boy, I tell you, you know, there's not a, I'm thankful, and I say this in humility, I'm not lifted up in it, but there's not an ounce of me that feels like that God owed me that. He didn't know it to me. And I don't want to stomp all over your pride tonight and be ugly about it, but I don't mind telling you, he didn't know it to you either.
That's right.
But you know, he could have done it all and ascended back to glory and never left us a heavenly place where we would know any of those things that he had done for us, and it would all be just as done and just as complete. But he chose of his own will to create a place where these that are his, and these, that it's his will in order to show it to them, that they would come and that they would have a heavenly experience to be able to see that even though they are condemned for their sins and they feel guilty for what they've done, that they get to hear about Jesus Christ who paid for their sins on the cross at Calvary. Boy, that's a heavenly experience, isn't it? I want to tell you, that's good news to a sin-sick soul. Whenever someone knows and understands of themselves that they are unable to do what would please God to the point where they are righteous in and of themselves, oh, I got something that's good news for you. I get to tell you about Jesus who made you righteous. And because he is righteous and he made you righteous, you are just like him standing before the throne of God tonight. Boy, that's a heavenly experience. And the Lord didn't owe us that. But the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. You know, if the Lord will be with us, I want to look at just a few things from this parable that I think that the Lord is drawing our attention to. Drawing the attention to the ones who heard him then. Drawing attention, our attention now to this kingdom of heaven, this heavenly place where we get to enjoy fellowship with Jesus Christ and the truth. You know, I'm not telling you that the Lord is confined to this place. I'm not telling you that. I'm going to tell you, our Lord is not confined. You know, the Jews thought that He was confined to only bless them. I'm not telling you tonight that the Lord is confined. But I will tell you that there's a place where the Lord has given a promise where He is. That He's given a promise where He is. You know, we had the family in our home this past weekend that I know y'all have been in prayer for, that we asked for you to pray for some time. It was Allison's cousin who lost their daughter about 6 months ago. They sent me a note about a month and a half ago, said they wanted to come down. We hadn't seen them in 11 years in person. We've communicated with them across phones, but we hadn't seen them since my brother-in-law was married 11 years ago in person. But when his daughter became sick, I started engaging him with conversation and started telling him that we were praying for him and loved him. And, you know, here he comes. He says, "We want to come and we want to see y'all." And he said, "We want to see your boys play football. We want to come down on Friday night." And I said, "Well, if you come down on Friday night, y'all just come stay with us." And they said, "Well, now we have a family of six. There's us and then there's four boys." And I said, "Well, you know, what I wanted to say is, well, we're Primitive Baptist. And we're used to some meetings where we've got some families coming and staying in our home. And I promise you, you'll be just fine. It's not going to bother our crowd a bit if they have to give up a bed and sleep on a couch for the night. Or if another, well, I guarantee my youngest two won't mind at all crawling into bed with us between me and their mama and making their way in there in order to be able to make some room up there in the bed. It didn't matter to us." But you know, they began to tell us about their experience in going through that. And before Sunday, when they went with us to Shoals Primitive Baptist Church, they had never stepped foot in a Primitive Baptist church. I believe they enjoyed themselves. I believe they just felt right at home among those saints there. I believe they rejoiced in the gospel that day. I'm not telling you that they're going to be converts, but I'm going to tell you this. It ain't because I'm not going to try to make them any. But nevertheless, I don't want to tell you that God's blessings of comfort and peace are confined to this place, because I want to tell you those two people have peace. And it doesn't mean that peace, it just dwells all the time with them, but they're okay in the circumstances that they are. And the Lord visited them in that, and it wasn't inside this place that I'm telling you about tonight. You say, "Well, why do we even want it?" I'm going to tell you, it doesn't mean that it's still not an important place where we are tonight. But I don't want to confine the Lord. I'm going to tell you, the Lord can speak peace to a little lamb of His in the middle of the jungle. Has never heard the name Jesus, has never opened a Bible, that has never been reached by a missionary. I'm going to tell you, the Lord can comfort His. The Lord can speak to Him. But Jesus here is not just speaking to Him about His power and about His sovereignty. He's speaking to Him about what He's about to set up here in this world and something that's about to have the effect that leaven has on meal. He's telling them something to prepare them for something. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until the whole was leavened." You know, it's a woman that had this leaven that put it in that meal. It's a woman. You know, I don't want to focus on the figures tonight. I want to speak about the literal. You know, I listen to a lot of figurative preaching, worldly preaching. I shouldn't say a lot of it, but there's certainly a lot of it going on today with what's going on in the Middle East. You know, it's amazing to me that the old Baptists have been praying for the saints of God, for the elect of God scattered in every country, no matter what their circumstances have been for years. But now these days, you know, you go by signs and you see, pray for Israel and pray for it. And you know, a lot, they don't even believe those folks are going to be in heaven one day. And I just find that to be, I was like, you know, man. You know, but I don't want to focus on the figure. I want to focus on the literal. But he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took." You know, this is the only time that I know of. Brother Gary will correct me after I get done if I'm wrong about this. It's the only time that leaven's used in a positive context in the scriptures. Only time. You know, we speak about unleavened bread at communion.
And we go right there to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and amen, that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And that, in that context, is talking about sin. It means that if you don't deal with the sin that's among you, it's gonna just creep right over, and it's gonna just infect the whole lump, is what he's telling me.
But it doesn't. So it
tells me that leaven is not so much a symbol of sin in every context. It's certainly not here, but it is an element of change. It's an element of change. You know what changes the composition of bread is when you add that leaven to it immediately. Immediately, there begins to be a change in that meal. In the whenever somebody's making bread, Sister Allison makes homemade bread. And, we're constantly, her and Sister Lila are constantly over there, dealing with that bread. And Lila loves to see the effect whenever they put that starter in there in that dough, to immediately see that begin to work on that. And it's because leaven is an element of change. It's something that changes something whenever it comes into contact with it. You know, there's no separating the effect that it's going to have upon what it comes into contact with. And whenever we're speaking here about what Jesus was telling them about, is he's telling them about a kingdom. As he says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened. And he says that this kingdom is like unto leaven. It's going to bring about some change where it is engaged and where it comes into contact with others. You know, whenever the gospel began to be preached upon that region, whenever it went out and they began to tell the saints of God that were born again before they got there about the love of God toward them, I'm going to tell you what it did is the saints at Ephesus, they looked at it and said their whole world had been turned upside down. It changed it. It changed it. You know, in the context of the Jews that didn't want to recognize Jesus as being the Christ, well, don't tell me that they didn't look at it like something was changing. They were like, hold on just a minute. Hold on. This is different. The Old Testament told us about what we had to do. But yet now, this one named Jesus has come, and his message is not about what we have to do for redemption, but instead about what I'm going to do for them to redeem them. There was a change. There was something that they saw that was a change. And you know, not only did it change in the context of the grand scheme of all those who heard it, I'm going to tell you about individually, whenever we heard the gospel of our salvation, the Bible says that when we believed it, we became sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And in other words, something came and happened unto us whenever we believed and heard the truth for the first time. Came sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. When you believe, you became born again, didn't you? There's some of y'all yawning whenever you got here tonight. I'm going to make sure y'all are awake. I said, no head nod, Brother Will. No, sir. No, sir. Whenever you put a seal on something, the seal doesn't make what's inside the package. The seal identifies what's already in the package. And when you believe, it doesn't make you a child of God. It identifies that you already are one. And whenever this leaven comes into communication with our ears and with our hearts, man, I'm going to tell you, I grew up, I know most of y'all know the order of people I grew up in, very loving people. I still see a lot of them, and glad to engage them in conversation. Mighty loving people, and a lot of them love the same truth I do in regards to salvation. You know, and I can remember all my days of hearing ministers preach it, just like I try to preach it now. But you know, there was a time whenever I came to the Old Baptist Church the first time. And I remember thinking that the man that was preaching, y'all know Elder Ronnie Mazingo Jr. down here, don't you? I didn't have any trouble hearing him.
I can tell you that.
I could hear him. I could hear what he was saying. And I believed every bit of it was pointed right at me. You know, what was amazing was how, you know, he knew we were new, Sister Allison and I. He knew that we were new to that order of people. We had discussed some of the things that we had discussed, but he didn't have any idea of some of the conversations we were having in our home Sunday, between Sundays. And it's amazing how we would show up. and he would preach on things that we've been discussing in our home. That Sister Allison was still a little bit confused about. You want to tell me why? You want to tell me that when the Scripture says that the whatever in regards to the preaching of the gospel in Romans chapter 1, the Scripture says that the Apostle Paul, whenever he spoke unto them, he said that the gospel of Christ is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. Power of God. Why is it powerful? It's because he's not just taking and fielding questions. He's preaching something that maybe that he doesn't know that's on your mind, but the Lord knows it's on your mind. The Lord does. And it has an impact and it has a change upon the ears and the hearts where it finds its abode. It changes you. You know, there was a man that came to Bethany Church one time, just a little bit of time before we had begun to visit there. And we got these sorts of visits all the time because of the urban area where we were, and there was a hotel just up the road that used to bring some traffic, some of it very spiritual, most of the time not. Most of the time not. And I'm not saying that to judge them that were in those circumstances. I'm sorry they found themselves there, but they didn't come seeking the truth. They came to try to take and pillage from people and so on and so forth. There was one man who came that heard the message, and he said, "I need to talk to the pastor and the brethren here." He said, "I want to ask some questions about some things that he just preached." So all the deacon brethren gathered down there in Brother Lonnie's office, and they asked him. He began to ask them questions. He said, "Do you mean to tell me that no matter what I do, I cannot change the fact that heaven is my home? There's nothing I can do that will remove me from going to heaven one day." And they said, "No, it's not one thing. Every child of God is going to heaven. Every child of God is going to heaven. The Bible says, 'My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish.'" They said that man just swelled up and he just went to crying like a baby. And when he left, they all wondered. They said, "Do you think he'll come back?" And they said, "I don't know if he'll come back, but he's been changed."
Yeah.
He's been changed.
The kingdom of heaven is like an leaven,
which a woman hid in 3 measures of meal. You know, it's an element of change. It not only changes us from in our doctrine and in our belief. You know, I'd like to believe, and I know it has, but it changed this old boy's walk. You know, I can't tell you when I was born again, because I've always believed that Jesus was my Savior and that I was a sinner. There was a time in my walk that didn't match what I believed. But when I came and I heard the gospel, something said, "I need to change what I was doing." Something not only stuck my soul to comfort me, but something also gave me some instruction that said that there's a better way to walk. You know, there's a change there, and the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. And you know, in this world in which we live in, sometimes we can't even fathom the different lifestyles and the things that people are engaged in when they come to the house of God. But if they love what they hear, I'm going to tell you, they can change their walk and they can join in the feed of the flock, if you will. I just want to tread the path of the flock that's been tread all these years.
I don't believe I'm the only one.
There's a change. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman hid in 3 measures of meal. I got to get going in more ways than one. Dairy Queen on the south side of Dublin don't stay open
long enough for us to get there. We got to get there. It's an element of kingdom. Look at the leaven
and what it does. It changes. It has an impact. Which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. And I believe where the Lord has blessed this kingdom to abide is in His bride.
Yeah.
His church. That's where it abides. You know, "If I tarry long, that thou knowest how thou oughtest behave thyself at the house of God," is what Paul told Timothy, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. You know, if anything, and I know some people hear us talk about the church and they say, "Y'all are worshiping the church." No, we're not. Well, we're thankful for it.
I'm thankful for it, aren't you?
Yes,
I believe I owe my life to it.
I owe my life to the Lord.
And where He's placed me in His kingdom is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church that He established. You know, there was a time in my life when, you know, Sister Allison, she's a year older than me. Now, I say that because I know what a lot of y'all are thinking. If y'all ever seen me with her, y'all probably thought I was a lot older than her. Because I look a lot older than she does. But she graduated high school a year before I did, and she and I were sort of attending to one another at the time, if you will, in regards to thinking a lot of one another. And she went off to school down in Statesboro. And, you know, needless to say, I had to make a regular trip down there. I had some territory I had to guard. I had to make sure that those boys that were down there knew that there was somebody else. You know, I didn't want them to get too comfortable. But, you know, the reason why I mention that is when I left from down there to come back home, on those weeknights and on those weekends, a lot of times I take what's called the back way from Statesboro to Swainsboro. And some of you have traveled it and you didn't even know you was on the back way from Swainsboro to Statesboro. But you know, when I'd pull off of 301 bypass, I'd turn left on West Side Road. And there I'd go right on by Bethlehem, Primitive Baptist Church. Never looked back. Never knew it was there. I'd come on down and you'd stay on West Side Road until you hit 121, and there used to be a progressive church there on the left. I was familiar with it because I belonged to those order of folks. But you turn left on 121 and you go up a little ways and you turn right on Rosemary Church Road. And there I'd go, I'd just continue on that back road. I'd never even pay attention to them. But I'm going to tell you, now whenever I travel, I can't help but look over and just say, oh, what a Bethel spot. And I'm not worshiping the building. We all know that the church is not the building, but I'm going to tell you, it's a Bethel place where the saints of God gather together and the Lord calls our attention to this woman. This woman took this leaven, and it's the place of the church where the gospel goes forth today. It comes in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's where we go to hear it. That's where we go to hear it. Among the believers who gather together, the woman took this leaven and she hid it in 3 measures of meal. You know, notice what she did with this leaven. She hid it. You know, some people may look at that and they may say, well, she hid it because she didn't want anybody to see it. No, I don't look at it like that. Believe me, the Lord wants people to see the element of change in your life. That's not what this lesson is about. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, sometimes I see some of our church folks around town, Brother Sam Bowen and Sister Jennifer Bowen's granddaughters in school with our kids. Sister Donna Campbell, a member of that at Hebron Church, she teaches our kids. Boy, don't you know they in line down there? They got a church member right there standing in front of them teaching. Don't you know she's got them in line down there? And you know what I've found out is that whenever I see them down there and I say, Brother Sam and Sister Jennifer, and I say Sister Donna in front of people, you know, they're Miss Donna and Mr. Sam and Miss Jennifer, everybody, but they hear me call them brother and sister. And you know, they somehow something just doesn't add up in their minds about why we're called one another that. Well, I'm not ashamed of what they are to me, and it doesn't mean that the other ones around there are not my brother and sister in Christ, but we share a title and a name in the kingdom of God, and that's the way we refer to one another. That's the way we refer to one another. But she hid it in 3 measures of meal. You know, I know some have, and I'm going to come back to hiding, and I know 3, it could mean Jew, Gentile, Samaritan. I understand that. You know, it could be referring to, because the gospel was preached unto every creature under heaven. I think that's referring to all nationalities as opposed to it being just for the Jews. It was, of course, the door was open unto the Gentiles. But that's not my focus. My focus is on she hid it in 3 measures of meal. Hiding it, not so that it won't see that, so you won't see the impact of it. Hiding it so the devil won't get it from you. Hiding it so the devil won't take it from you. You say, you mean to tell me the devil can take my joy? Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure can. You mean the devil can take my mind and me forget about all these things that I've heard all my life? Oh, yeah. Yes, he can. You know, we were talking with some family here on Saturday, there around my table. And
You know, we began to, something brought up someone's name who's battling Alzheimer's. And what a, I've witnessed that from a pastoral standpoint. I've observed it from a family standpoint. And it is a very sad, it is a very sad and cruel disease. And I told them, though, and I'm not a prophet, and I told them I wasn't one. But I said, if you think that a lot of people battle that today, you wait till the impact of these things that we're looking at all day long hit some of us in about 20 years. You wait. Because if you don't think that those things aren't changing things up here, it is. It is. It's having an impact. Now, I don't say that to say, oh, Brother Will, saying we all not know. It'd be hard not to have one this day and time. It'd be hard not to. But, you know, it doesn't mean that they're all good either. But, you know, she hid it in three measures of meal. You know, the psalmist David, his prayer was to let the Lord, for the Lord to let him hide his word in his heart, that he might not sin against the Lord. He wanted to hide, he wanted to put it in a safe place so that it couldn't be taken from him. You know, I want to be a partaker of the truth all the days of my life. And I would that I didn't have another day here on this earth, that the Lord would return and take us all home to be with him. But you know, we don't know when that's going to happen. We're supposed to live as if it may happen tomorrow. But I'm going to tell you, I want it to be hid. I want to keep it in a place where it's special to me, where no circumstance, where nobody can come along and take it from me. It was hid in three measures of meal. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be somewhere. It's going to be somewhere. This kingdom's going to be somewhere. Might as well be right here in this little place where it's been for 200 plus years, hasn't it? Might as well be in our hearts that gather here to worship. Might as well be here. You know, I serve old Hebron Church down in Garfield. Its constitution date was 1804. It is the oldest active church in Emanuel Town. And there's not many members there. There's 7 members there. But whenever the Lord blesses us to meet down there, there's people from that community who have come there their whole life, who believe the truth, just like I try to preach it to them every Saturday, but they've never united with the church. You say, well, Brother Will, are you with every ounce of my being? With every ounce of my being. But I would that it would find a resting place and a hiding place in their heart. And that it would be a place that it would be hid like it is in three measures of meal. Until the whole be leavened. Until the whole be leavened. You know, I don't believe this is teaching that the gospel is going to reach all the elect family of God. And the church is going to eventually encompass all the elect family. And that'll be what it's telling us. No, he says, to the whole be leavened. Kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. How long should that gospel impact us and change us? Should we just say we've been changed? I'm good enough. I can ease on down through life. I know enough about Jesus. I don't need to read it anymore. I don't need to hear it anymore. I'm perfect enough in my current state. I don't need to walk any better than what I walk today. Or is this kingdom of heaven that's like unto leaven supposed to be changing us and impacting us until our whole body is glorified, which will be when the Lord returns? I believe it's supposed to keep right on, keeping on, keeping on. Until our bodies are changed and we're glorified. And I'm going to tell you that point in time is going to be the same time that every elect person, every elect member of the elect family of God is glorified, at the same time that you are. The same time. And this gospel is going to keep on keeping on until that time. It's going to be doing that. It might as well be doing it with us, is what my prayer is. Might as well be changing me. You know, there's a saying in the world that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, you know, when it comes to us continuing to change our lives and our minds and our souls to be more like Jesus, it's not a new trick. It's something that if you've heard it, you know, thankfully the gospel that we preach, you know, it hasn't changed since Jesus preached it. It hadn't changed. You know, I heard a man in the pulpit one time make a comment that we need to be We need to change the church back before it was and not just look back 200 years ago. And I thought, well, what was wrong with it 200 years ago? You know? Why are you so negative on those folks? I'm going to tell you, bless their heart 200 years ago. They had finally had it where it couldn't go any further. They've listened to what they had to listen to in regards to the difference between what missionary Baptists believe and what the old Baptists believe. I don't mean to get off on that, but nevertheless, I'm just telling you the gospel that the church still preaches and stands for, it was preached by Jesus. Just in little settings like here, like we read where Jesus preached this parable unto them. May the Lord bless us as we see this teaching about this kingdom, to be thankful for what the Lord blessed us to be able to have. And I trust to be able to take these lessons and apply them to our walk with Him. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention.